Isaiah chapter 40, the 40th chapter of Isaiah, in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 748. We'll begin with the 25th verse and read through the end of the chapter. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25 through 31, page 748. We'll read the verses responsively, and to do so, may we please stand for the reading of this passage. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bring out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And let's read together now the text verse, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And let's pray. Father, we've looked forward now to this evening's service. Thank you for all that you've done already this day, and now for the frosting on the cake, so to speak, this service tonight. Would you bless it? Would you empower our preacher and to bring to fruition thy best of blessings? Of course, we must hear what the preacher has to say. Help us to listen. In Jesus' name, amen.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, I ask you before I speak, are you too warm? All right, Brother Randy, turn it down where it was the last time. Is this, we talked about a while ago, the same as it was before. Far too many Christians are turning back. Far too many are stumbling by the wayside. Far too many are fainting. The Bible says men ought always to pray and not to faint. The Bible says they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There is a way. By the way, people often say, Dr. House, Brother House, what's the secret? No secret. It's open for everybody. No secrets. Well, Brother House, what do you think's a secret of doing a great work for God? No secrets. No secret. It's not some little cute something that somebody's found. That's no secret. Everybody wants to find out the secret without having total dedication. The answer is saying, Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. The answer is saying, all to Jesus I surrender. No secret to it, none at all, no secret to it. And I want to talk to you tonight about this amazing passage. I love that first part. Hast thou not heard that the Lord doesn't faint? That's good. I'm glad about that. And they that wait upon him shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Now, Father, bless the message and give me the hearts of the people and their minds as we go into this subject together. In Jesus' name, amen. I used to wonder about this passage. In fact, it wasn't long ago when I found out what I used to wonder about. I used to wonder why it said that you have the order. God gives the order he gives. They shall first mount up with wings as eagles. Second, they shall run and not be weary. Third, they shall walk and not faint. It used to bother me. In fact, for years it bothered me. Why didn't God start with the walking, then go to the running, then go to the flying? Why did God start with the flying and come down walking and come down to the running? It bothered me. First place, I don't like to get slower. I like to get faster. And that bothered me greatly. You know where I learned what this verse means? At the airport in Cincinnati, Ohio, not long ago. I was walking down the corridor in Cincinnati, and I sat down to read a paper. I was waiting for a changing plane, sat down to read a paper, and I saw a paratrooper. And he walked by, and I said, "Hi, trooper, how you doing?" He said, "Fine." I said, I used to be a paratrooper. He said, "When?" I said, "Never mind. Never mind." I always say that. They always ask me that when I see them. I say, "Never mind." "Well, what class are you in?" I said, "Class of 176. And he said, "That's good." And so he walked on. Sitting about two seats from me, empty seat next to me, and a man about my age was sitting over there, and he said, "You were in class 176? And I said, "Yes." "Why," he said, "I used to be a paratrooper back in World War II, and I was in class, I think he said, 160-something, 150-something. And I said, "You're more my style." And so we put on our bifocals and talked to each other for a while. And he said, we chatted about paratrooper, so many things. We talked about the running, how that we had to run the first day a mile, and the second day 2 miles without stopping, and third day 3 miles, fourth day 4 miles, fifth day 5 miles, sixth day 6 miles, seventh day 7 miles, eighth day 8 miles, ninth day 9 miles, tenth day 10 miles, and then every day after that we had to run 10 miles every day without stopping, and never, I had combat boots on, and not around the track, up and down hills and so forth, and around curves, highway running, and counting cadence, what's the time? Hup, hup, hey, hup, hup, hup. And we talked about that. We talked about how we used to have to sleep with our rifles. When I was in paratroopers, we had to go to bed with a rifle, sleep with it every night. Every night, had to sleep with a rifle. And we talked about how that in those days, we had to pack our own parachute, and we had to kiss it, had to kiss our own parachute, made us do it, had to kiss our parachute. Never did a thing for me, but had to kiss the parachute, and we relive those old days. We relive the jumping, the getting up in the airplane, and 19 men over here on this side of a C-46 or C-47, now they're DC-3s, and 9 men over here facing each other. We talked together about the way they used to play that morbid music. You never heard such music in your life, funeral dirge or something right before we jump. And then we talked about how the sergeant said, "Stand up and hook up." And we stood up and faced the rear of the plane, and the first man, sergeant said, "Stand the door." And the first man stood in the door looking out like this with his hands outside the door, the ball of his feet just at the break of the door. And the sergeant said, "Check equipment." And how that each man checked the parachute of the fellow in front of him, and how the fellow in front of him prayed that he'd check it well, and promised to do anything for him if he'd check it out carefully. And then the sergeant said, "Count off!" And we talked about how that the last man would say, 18 okay, 17 okay, 16 okay, 15 okay, 14 okay, 13 okay, 12 okay, 11 okay. And then the Yankees said, 10 okay, and then the rebel, 9 okay, and then 8 okay, 7 okay, 6 okay, 5 okay, 4 okay, 3 okay, and 2 okay, 1 okay. And the sergeant would say, "Ready, jump!" And the first man would jump, turning 45 degrees like this, feet and knees together, knees slightly bent, the arms around your parachute, chin against your chest, count 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. And the next fella jump, and then the next fella, and the next fella jump, and then the parachute would open to fill the sky. We talked about all of that and things you sailors could have done if you could have passed the physical for the paratroopers. And we talked about it. And then he said, "Remember the slogan?" I said, "What slogan?" He said, "Fly, run, walk." And I said, man, I hadn't thought about that in years.
Why, you said, remember that? Back in the old days, fly, run, walk.
I said, yeah, I remember. And boy, I got to thinking. That was the slogan, fly, run, walk. What it mean? You get in the plane, fly out to the field. You jump, you hit that
little thing right here in your chest. It came out with it while I was in. And it causes the parachute to come off your body. And then, you're out in open field. And you're easy prey for the bullets of others, of the enemy. And so you run. Run where? You run to cover. You run to the brush. You run to the woods. And you've got these uniform, these fatigues and clothing on that looks like the tree, and the tree's the forest, hard to distinguish. And you run. Fast you can. You run. And you get in the woods, you can't run anymore because it's too thick, too much thicket, too much forest. And then you walk through the woods. Said, never run through the woods. The enemy will see you. You walk through the woods slowly. You blend in with the trees. And I said, sure, that. I'll fly, run, and walk. Fly, run, and walk.
And I began to think, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I said, that's it. That's it.
God said, they can wait, they can fly if you wait on the Lord. And they can run and not be weary. And they can walk and not faint.
And that's what God is saying. God is giving us an outline here. He's saying you don't have to faint. You don't have to. You can
fly if you want to. You can fly and not be weary if you wait on the Lord. Listen to me. Everything in the Christian life. Now hear me. Everything in the Christian life is dependent upon the child of God spending time with his God. I'm talking about waiting on God. I'm talking about tarrying. I'm talking about walking with God. I'm not talking just about a prayer meeting and getting your prayer list out. I'm talking about what Jacob did at Jabbok. I'm talking about what the New Testament church did in the early days for 10 days in the upper room. And I'm talking about what is the missing thing in our fundamental churches. God's people waiting upon God. You don't have to faint. You don't have to turn back. You don't have to go into sin. You don't have to wash out. You don't have to end your Christian life. You don't have to be a dropout. But you're going to be unless you learn to wait upon the Lord. Now you listen to me. I do not know. Listen, you fine folks that stood a while ago and you said you were here to go to Howells Anderson College. You mark it down. Not a one of you ladies out yonder who come with your husbands can endure what you've got to face in the next 4, 5, 6 years unless you wait upon the Lord. Now you won't make it. And I'll guarantee you that the dropouts who leave Howells Anderson College because they don't make it, I'll guarantee you they did not wait upon the Lord. And you new Christians that don't make it, it'll be because you've not waited upon the Lord. And you folks are not employed and facing the unemployment line. You're not going to make it unless you wait upon the Lord. I could do you a favor tonight, far beyond any favor I've ever done you, except to tell you of the grace of God through salvation in Christ Jesus. But let me tell you something. I could just teach you that you're not going to make it. Oh, you say, I'm about to fall apart. Then wait upon the Lord. But you say, I just don't see how I can make it. Then wait upon the Lord. But you say, the load is too heavy. I'm about to bend beneath the burden. Then wait upon the Lord. But you say, I can't see my hand in front of me. The wilderness is too thick. Then wait upon the Lord. My Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I'm not talking about just spiritual strength. I'm talking about hand strength. I'm talking about body strength. I'm talking about leg strength. I'm saying they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It'll do you more good than vitamins will, though I'm not against vitamins. It'll do you more good than honey will, though I'm not against honey. It'll do you more good than exercise will, though I'm not against exercise. The outstanding aid to strength, I'm talking about energy, I'm talking about strength, the outstanding aid to physical strength and physical endurance is waiting upon God. And I'm talking to folks all over this room tonight who are not going to make it unless you learn to wait upon the Lord. I'm not talking about, now lay me down to sleep. I'm not talking about God is great, God is good, let us thank you for the food. I'm talking about old-fashioned pea patch prayer meetings. I'm talking old-fashioned pine thicket prayer meetings. I'm talking old-fashioned in the woodshed, out in the woodshed somewhere, out in the yard, or out in the woods somewhere, or in a prayer closet. I'm talking about day after day waiting upon God. You don't have to faint. You don't have to wash out. You don't have to be a casualty in the battle against the devil. But you're going to be if you don't learn to wait upon the Lord. You say the load is bigger than I can bear. Then wait upon the Lord. You say the question's too hard for me to answer, then wait upon the Lord. You say the burden's too hard for me to carry, then wait upon the Lord. You say the problem's too hard for me to solve, then wait upon the Lord. But I want to tell you something. If you do not learn to wait, you're not going to make it. Now you listen to me, you are not going to make it. God said, they that wait upon the Lord shall, didn't say might, didn't say could, didn't say should, shall renew their strength. Now listen to me. All over this house tonight, we have people who face the firing squad as it were. All over this room tonight, we have folks that face burdens and heartaches and problems, and you face mountains unclimbable and rivers uncrossable. But I want to tell you something. I don't care how your mountain is, it can be scaled if you'll wait upon God. I don't care how deep the valley is, it can be crossed if you'll wait upon God. I don't care how deep the river is, it can be swam if you wait upon God. There is a need tonight in the church of Jesus Christ like he has never known, that she's never known before, for God's people to wait upon God. Brother, you just wait. You just wait until the doors open back there. And in walk the communists. You just wait. And they pull their sabers and they say, okay, who's a child of God? Brother, you're not going to be able to stand up and face the firing squad and face and hear the click of the shell lock unless you've learned to wait on God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You haven't got to wash out. You don't have to turn back. You don't have to fall into sin. You don't have to be a casualty. You can have the mighty power of God and the strength of God Almighty flowing through your body if you learn to wait on God. No other way. No other way. Now, let's sort of analyze it. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. One, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. There are times we have to fly. For example, I walk in that door 3 times a week at least. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Now folks, you try it sometime. You try for 25 years. To speak to the same people 3 times a week. You try it. And you try to be fresh with something new and something exciting. You try it sometime. And you try it. As I look tonight, I scanned this great crowd and this great sea of faces, and I said to myself again and to God again, I can't do it. I can't do it. There's no way. I cannot preach to crowds like this. I can't do it unless I learn to wait upon the Lord. The times you have to fly. The times when you have to soar above the skies on pinions of deity. But you'll not make it unless you learn to wait on the Lord. Listen, there are no tricks around here. And I'm talking to men who are going to wear out early because you're not waiting upon God. You can drink all orange juice you want to. You can even quit your pork. You can quit your pizza and trade your pizza in and trade your Coca-Colas for carrot juice and orange juice and take your vitamins. I'm talking about A and B and C and D, and I could go all the way. I know the whole alphabet nearly. And I'm talking about lecithin and yeast, and I'm talking about wheat germ oil, and I'm talking about, I can't think of anything else all of a sudden. I'm talking about all of it. Let me tell you something. Listen,
You can't go day and night unless you wait upon God. Somebody said, Brother, how's you going to wear yourself out? No, I'm not. No, 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 no. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Somebody said, you better get your sleep. You better get your waiting. Brother, you'll get more. Listen, you'll get more strength. Now, most of you folks don't understand this. But you'll get more strength waiting upon God than you will sleeping. And I'm not against sleep. I love it. Next to eating, I love it more than most anything in the whole world. I'm not against. I'll say this too. You'll get more strength. I'm talking about physical strength. I'm talking about strength in your body. Listen, I challenge any young man in this room, anybody in this room, 30 years of age or under, I challenge you to keep up with me. I dare you. Challenge you. You get the sleep I get. You travel like I travel. I've been listening to the news and reading the papers about what jet lag does for you. I didn't know I was tired. I've been reading that stuff. I'm almost to 5 million miles on airplanes. I didn't know you had that stuff. I've been missing something. Jet lag. Man alive, 2 hours of prayer and a Reese's peanut butter cup will take care of that. I don't know what jet lag is. I could on the airplane and fly to Alaska and 3 hours difference. Used to be four. I don't know. I'm tired. I'm going to get one of those articles and take it with me so I'll know when I'm tired and when I'm not tired. Listen, I'm not against good health habits. I'm not. And I'm not against... Now, look, you stay up and don't get much sleep and don't eat right and don't get your rest and don't get some recreation. Unless you learn to wait on God, you'll fall flat on your face. And I'm not trying to talk some of you guys into dying when you're 30 years of age because you're food. I'm not talking about that. But I want to say this. I believe in proper eating. I believe in proper exercise. I believe in proper rest. But I believe more than all those put together that the greatest physical health aid known to mankind is when God's people called by God's name learn to wait on God. There's nothing will take its place. Nothing will take its place. Nothing. Now, that's what it says. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Says it right there. Now, is that true or not? Says it. Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. Boy, I'm glad it didn't say they'll mount up with wings as a sparrow. I used to call them in Texas chee-chees. You ever go chee-chee hunting? We'd get one of those slingshots. You black folks, we didn't call them slingshots in those days. I can't tell you how we called them. But I'll give you a hint. Afro-American expellers. And we'd take one of those slingshots. I think I'm in trouble. And we'd shoot chee-chees. Brother, it didn't say you'll mount up with wings as a chee-chee. Didn't say you'll mount up with wings as a hummingbird. Didn't say you'll mount up with wings as a Bob White. Didn't say you'll mount up with wings as a cricket. Didn't say you'll mount up with wings as a bluebird. Didn't say you'll mount up with wings as a wren. He chose the most powerful bird known to mankind, who soars the highest of all. And God said, if you will wait on God, you shall renew your strength, and you shall mount up with wings as eagles. That means you can soar above the sky. I remember many years ago now, I'm guessing 15, 16 years ago, pastor's school came. Pastor's school night, first opening night of pastor's school, I had 103 temperature. I mean, I was sick. I couldn't even walk without holding on to something. In those days, we had a building across the street. We called it the Knights of Christ Hall. It used to be the Knights of Columbus building. We bought it from them, took the whiskey out, and changed it to the Knights of Christ. That way, we kept the same sign, KC building. We didn't want to get rid of the sign. Changed it from Knights of Columbus to Knights of Christ. First class over there that night. Pastor's school wasn't very big in those days. And I said, dear God, you let me get through this first class. And I leaned up against the pulpit with 103 fever and stomach flu and other kind of flu and cancer of the brain and tuberculosis of the toenail. I had it all. Had it all. And I leaned against that desk and I said, God, help me to get through this one class. I finished that class. I said, dear God, get me through the next one. And I went home. Said, what'd you do? Did you get your rest? I spent at least 2 hours every night waiting on God. saying, "Dear God, you've got to give me strength. You've got to help me through. You've got to make it, help me make it." Next morning, I said, "God, give me 1 hour. All I'll ask you for 1 hour. I'll talk to you about the second hour after I made it through the first hour. Second hour. God, give me 1 hour." Friday afternoon came. I'll never forget it. Back in those days, we had a fire. We couldn't use the building, and we used the annex over there for the meals. And we went over there on Friday at noon. An old preacher stood up and said, "I'd like to testify." And with a furrow on his brow and the wrinkle on his face and the stoop in his shoulder and the palsy in his hands and the unsure, unsteady walk of an old saint, with a trembling voice, the old man said, "Why didn't I learn this when I was a young man? Why didn't somebody teach me this?" We had a little revival meeting over there in that annex that day. And I was walking down the alley, and pastor school was over at the most difficult time of my year. I'm just utterly, completely, and totally, physically and mentally, just poured out. My soul has been poured out. I was walking down the alley, and I was crying and saying, "Oh, God, bless the preacher. Says, go back and use the pastor school to help save the nation." And all of a sudden, it dawned on me. I was sick. I'd forgotten about it. I was sick. And I was in the alley out here. Now, up until then, I'd never taken off my shoes and run down this alley that many times since then. But it dawned on me that I was sick, and I'd asked God to help me. 1 hour. But after Monday, I'd forgotten about it. And here I was. I was well. And I had mounted up with wings as an eagle and soared through the sky. How? Waiting upon God. Waiting upon God. Then it says, by the way, this is not new to you, but can I forget the first time I saw this building? On a Sunday morning, dedication day, 10 years ago, didn't have that mezzanine, didn't have these little side balconies here then, just a big balcony and just the main great lower floor. 9,000 adults were here that morning. They're packed out in the hallway. Chairs everywhere. And I walked up to that door. I looked out and saw the crowd, and I turned and ran as fast as I could back to my office. And I said, "Dear God, I can't go in there. I can't do it. I'm a country preacher. There are too many people. The church is too big for me." And I'll be honest with you, folks, the church is still too big for me. No way I can pastor this church. No way. I mean, you don't understand. There's no place I can go. I can't go anywhere in this nation and say, what I do next? Nobody in the history of this nation has ever been through this before. No place to go. And I'm a country preacher. I'm a little hell, fire, and damnation, hell-raising, barnstorming, wind-rattling, shingle-pulling, hell, fire, and brimstone preacher. I'm not a great giant. I'm not a great leader. I'm just a hell, fire, and brimstone preacher. But my Bible doesn't say if giants will wait on God. My Bible said they that wait upon the Lord. That means a little old guy like me as much as it means Lee Robertson. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Secondly, it said they shall run and not be weary. I talked to that ex-trooper as we sat there in the Cincinnati airport. Fly, run, walk. Fly, run, walk. Fly, run, walk. I remembered how we'd jump out of the plane after flying to the landing field, the jump area. I remember how we'd fly to the jump area and jump out, and then land there and hit the little thing, or pull that little doojigger that kept that thing from doojiggering. You understand that, don't you? And pull it, hit this thing right here, the chute would fly off like that. And then they taught us to run. Run as fast as you can. Take off for the woods. Run! Run! Not flying anymore. And listen, there's some times, folks, you can't fly. Brother, I tell you, I preached many a sermon. I took off down the runway, and I couldn't take off. I mean, I was earthbound. And I backed that plane up and took off again. I've laid some eggs big enough for hatch twin dinosaurs from. I've taken off. and my wings, hey, I was down south not long ago.
And I was driving down the road. I had the church had let me borrow a car, and I was driving down the road. The car right in front of me hit a bird. Didn't hit him head on, sort of sideswiped him, and please take the baby out. That's good. And the bird hit the side of the car. Well, I don't like to see birds killed unless they're killed by a slingshot. If a bird's going to die, it ought to die right. Or a BB gun. And you go chee-chee hunting. But I stopped. And that little bird couldn't fly. It tried to fly, but it could run. And it called the tower and asked for clearing to take off. The tower said, "Have you filed your flight plan?" The bird said, "Yes, I have." That little bird went on runway 127 and took off down the runway, but the wings wouldn't work. And that little bird, if it couldn't fly, I'll tell you what it did. It broke the 100-yard dash record. It realized I was trying to help it. I told him I was trying to help it, but bird language I've never learned real well. And sounds like you folks from Boston to me. And I followed the bird, and that little bird, running for its life. And God says, "Okay, if you wait on the Lord, I'll renew your strength, and you can mount up with wings and eagles and fly. But the day is going to come when you can't fly. But it's okay, then you'll run and not be weary." I've been preaching a long time. Check my treble, be sure it's turned right. I've been preaching a long time. Over 41,500 sermons I've preached in these years. I said over 41,500 sermons. I've preached when it was clear, visibility was unlimited, ceiling was 15 miles, runway was clear, no fog, and I could go down the runway and lift off into the sky and fly like an eagle. But I preached many a time when the ceiling was too low to take off and visibility was zero and all I could do was run. But I want to serve notice, ladies and gentlemen, to you that if all you can do is run, you can still run and not be weary. You don't have to run. Oh, Mitchell! You know, I get so tired of people thinking God's work tires them out. Now, God's work will tire you out unless you wait on the Lord as you do God's work. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. People say, "Well, Howells, how do you keep your schedule? How do you do it? How in the world? You go like you do." Tell you how I go like I do. In some hotel room at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm on my face beside the bed saying, "Oh, God, you're going to have to help me. I'm not a college chancellor. I'm not pastor of a large church. I'm not a theologian. I'm not a great leader, a great giant among men. You're going to have to help me. I've got decisions to make I can't make, and I've got problems I don't know how to solve. And I've got burdens I don't know how to bear. And I've got things to do I don't know how to do. And dear God, all these things are packing up and stacking up. And I wait upon God. And I'd like to serve notice to you after 37 years plus of pastoring that you can run and not be weary. I said you can run and not be weary. I said there is a way to run and not be weary. But you'll not do it unless you learn to wait on God. You won't do it. You just won't do it. Then he says, not only, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now listen carefully. Sometimes you can't run because you can't see. Sometimes the way is too dark. Sometimes the path is not clear. Sometimes the enemies are too many. Sometimes the road is too rugged. Sometimes the journey is too rocky. Sometimes you can't see your way. Sometimes there's only a wilderness ahead.
And it wouldn't be wise to fly. Listen, you can't win war just flying. Somebody's got to be in the infantry. Somebody's got to clear out the brush. Somebody's got to take over the land. Somebody has to occupy it. And so the Lord said, okay, there are times when you have big jobs to do and you got to fly. God said, if you wait on God, you can mount up with wings as eagles. But he said, sometimes you can't fly. Sometimes you'll have to run because you're earthbound. But he said, if you can run and not be weary. Don't forget the outline. Fly, run, walk. Fly, run, walk. Fly to the jump field. Land. Run to the forest. And then the thicket's too heavy. You can't see. You can't run. Too much brush. Too many trees. You can't run. You walk. And God said, when you can't see your hand in front of your face, and you can't run, you can't fly, God said you can walk and not faint. May I say this tonight? Many of you have great responsibilities in the Lord's work, and you need to mount up with wings as eagles. You'll not do it if you learn to wait upon God.
Others of you tonight need to run. You've got things to do. You've got a busy schedule. You've got to run.
You can't do it unless you wait upon God. There are others of you tonight that have a forest to go through. You just got here. You have no job. You have a little apartment to stay in. You don't know how you're going to make it. School starts a week from Monday. You haven't got the foggiest idea how your kid can go to school. If you had stayed in my office this morning after service, and you looked at those little kids coming in begging for some way for moms and dads unemployed and mothers rearing kids alone, and you'd seen those little kids walk to yours like I saw after the service this morning, and seen them walk in, how can they go to school?
I'm talking to a lot of folks tonight can't see the way, can't see your hand in front of you, but I'll tell you what you can do. You keep on walking and you won't faint if you wait upon God. But there's no way you're going to make it. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are, brother. If your name is John the Baptist, you've got to wait upon God. You're going to faint.
I don't care if you're Elijah reincarnate. You've got to wait upon God. Listen, if the Son of God Himself
fled the Mount of Olives and waited upon His God while others slept at night, don't you think you're going to make it without waiting upon God? If our Lord Jesus had to go out and wait upon God on the Mount of Olives, as he overlooked the city and through the night with nothing but a stone for a pillow and a stony ground for a sheet and a mattress. And there he looked out over the city and cried and prayed and asked God for wisdom. Don't you think you're going to make it? Don't you think you're going to make it? Now you listen to me. I don't care who you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how talented you are, how good a preacher you are, how good a businessman. I don't care who you are. You are not going to make it until you learn to wait upon God. Preacher, how in the world can you be responsible for leading a college with a multi-million dollar campus? We've been offered $11 or $12 million for it. I'm sure it's worth $20 million.
How can you do it? And how can you prepare sermons for here and around the country? And travel almost 5 million miles. How can you do it?
I'll tell you how. Outside a motel room on the sidewalk at 1 o'clock and 1:15 and 1:30 and 2 o'clock. Oh, God. I can't do it. I've got to have help. I've got to have strength.
Power, great preacher, go to bed and get your rest.
No, no,
go to bed and get your strength.
No, you wait on God and get your strength. By the way, that's one reason why that the operation here is not operated like the world does. And we don't plan to start operating like the world does either. Well, you say, Brother Howes, in the world,
in the business circles of the world. This is the way you take care of business. I'll guarantee you, you show me God's institution that copies a business plan, business system of the world, and I'll show you a school or a church that's gone down and not what it used to be. I'll guarantee you. Brother, listen. My God says he that winneth souls is wise. If you want to get wise, you win souls. You want to see good business? Huh? You don't go to some institution that's endowed to the sky. I was talking the other day to a fellow who said a certain Southern Baptist institution was endowed $100 million. Wouldn't take it if they gave it to me. I wouldn't. Brother, when an institution gets the place, when a college gets the place where it can get along without its followers financially, it's gone.
And brother, when a college gets a place to where we haven't got to get on our faces and say, dear God, supply our needs, we don't need to pray anymore.
You check every great school in America, brother. When its founder was alive and praying down the power of God and the blessings of God and provisions from God, that's when the school was flourishing. I haven't told this story in years. Didn't plan to tonight. But it fits in. I told it at pastor's school one year, and I think one Sunday here, years and years ago. Maybe again, several years later. I was sitting in New York City. Some way or other, I got a hold of a story that transpired in New York City. A little girl named Kathy in New York City had taken ill. It's been so long since I told the story, I've forgotten some of the details. I remember the main points. Little Kathy was taken to the hospital. It's been years ago. The doctor examined her. Her family gathered around the room. And the doctor said, she's dying. He said, in a few hours, she'll come to a crisis. You don't hear much about that anymore. The crisis time, years ago, the folks died at home instead of in the hospital. And the doctor said, if she could live to the crisis time, she might could pull through. But there's no way she can live to the crisis. She won't even come close. She'd have to live several hours, and she's dying now. The doctor turned and walked out of the room and left a tear-stained face of a mother and daddy there in the room. They called the doctor back. He came and examined her again. They said, doctor, please, tell us. The doctor stood beside the family. Doctor said if Kathy could make it to the crisis time, she might could live. But there's no way she can make it. Impossible. No way. She's dying now. The little boy, just a little tyke, Kathy's best friend, heard that Kathy was in the hospital and heard that Kathy was dying. And little Johnny will call him. Ran off from home. Ran down the sidewalk, across busy streets. Mother didn't know where he was. Ran off from home. And ran a good distance till he got to the hospital. He couldn't visit the hospital, but visit he did. He slipped inside the front door, went down to the elevator, looked to the right, looked to the left, till he sees nobody was watching, snuck on the elevator. He knew what Kathy's room number was. Went up to Kathy's floor and got over the hall and snuck down till he got to Kathy's room. He walked in Kathy's room and saw her lying there, dying. Little Johnny walked up. He put his hand out on Kathy's hand and said, Kathy, this is Johnny. This is Johnny, Kathy. Kathy, they say you're dying. But you don't have to die, Kathy. All you got to do is just keep breathing. Breathe, Kathy. Breathe. Breathe, Kathy. Breathe. Breathe, Kathy. Breathe. Kathy, you remember how we used to go down to the beach and how we used to make sand piles and we used to sculpture things out of sand? And Kathy, We'll do that again. She'll keep on living. But Kathy, if you don't keep on breathing, we can't ever do it anymore. Kathy, if we have fun down to the beach and we make those sand piles and play in the sand, you've got to keep breathing. Kathy, breathe. Kathy, breathe. Breathe. Kathy, breathe. Breathe. Kathy, breathe. Breathe. Kathy, breathe. Kathy, you remember how we used to go out in the woods and pick flowers and bring them home to our mamas? Remember that, Kathy? Remember how we used to play in the woods and pick those flowers and bring our mamas bouquets? Said, Kathy, we'll do that again, but you can't do it if you don't keep breathing. Now, Kathy, you've got to keep breathing. Breathe, Kathy, breathe. 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 Kathy, you remember how we used to play together in the yard? Remember all the games we used to play? Kathy, we can do it again, but we can't do it if you don't keep breathing, Kathy. Kathy, you're going to have to keep breathing. Now, Kathy, breathe. Kathy, breathe. Breathe, Kathy, breathe. Breathe, Kathy, breathe. Breathe, Kathy, breathe. Breathe, Kathy, breathe. Little boy felt two hands on his shoulders. He startled him. He turned around and looked up, and there's a kind of tall man with white hair looking down on little Johnny's face and tears streaming down his cheeks and landing on Johnny's shoulders. It was the doctor. And the doctor looked down at Johnny and he said, Johnny, you've been here a long time, several hours. And said, well, you've been here talking Kathy into breathing. She passed the crisis. Johnny, she's going to live. And Kathy did live. Because Johnny said, breathe, Kathy, breathe. Breathe, Kathy, breathe. I'm talking tonight to somebody who must soar to great heights. You have great responsibilities in God's work. And I say tonight, breathe, flyer, breathe. Breathe, breathe, flyer, breathe. Breathe, flyer, breathe. I'm talking to somebody tonight who cannot fly. Your wings are broken. You cannot lift off. And you need to run. I'll say, breathe, runner, breathe. Breathe, runner, breathe. Breathe, runner, breathe. Breathe, runner, breathe. I'm talking to somebody tonight who cannot see the way. You cannot run. The fog is too thick. The darkness is too dark. The road is too rocky. The path is too unsure. And as you look out tonight, you can't run because the wilderness is too thick and the brush is too heavy. And all you can do is walk. I say to you, breathe, Walker. Breathe. Breathe, Walker. Breathe. Breathe, Walker. Breathe. And I'll say this in closing. I've been going up and down this country for many years, over almost 5 million miles in the air, and I don't know how many thousands of motels and hotels I've checked in. 21 pastor schools. I preach more sermons at the Southwide Baptist Fellowship than any other preacher in that great convention once a year. All these years of its existence, I'm sure nobody's preached as many sermons as I have. I've been going up and down this country all these years, and basically what I've been saying to my nation is breathe, America, breathe. Breathe. Breathe, America, breathe. Breathe, America, breathe! Maybe by the grace of God, someday America can pass the crisis if it can just keep her breathing. And tonight, if you're having a hard time soaring, you're tired because of the fact that you need to fly and you can't fly, then wait upon the Lord. And you shall mount up with wings as eagles. It may be that your pinions of deity have been broken. There's no way you can fly. It may be that you're earthbound, but you've got to do something big, quick, and you've got to be on the run. Wait upon the Lord. Or it may be that you cannot run. All you can do is walk. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. If the Church of Jesus Christ has a need tonight, that need is to wait upon the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, teach us to wait. Help us to always pray and not faint. Help us to realize there's a way not to faint. And that way is waiting upon the Lord. Waiting upon God. Teach us to wait. Oh, take us back to the pea patch. Take us back to the prayer closet.